Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek : A Glee Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hey friends, I have some exciting news about today's episode. So while we were recording, our mic levels got messed up, which meant that all of our audio was far too jacked up to use. Thankfully, we were also filming ourselves, and so I was able to take the audio from the video and use that for the episode. But because of this, the sound quality is kind of weird, and the edits are kind of wonky. So our apologies about that. Sorry, everyone. You may be wondering how this is exciting news. It's not. Enjoy the episode. Boom.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
You ready for this? You all ready for this? How long do you think we can do this song before people turn off the episode?
Well, hear me out. I don't know the rest of the song, so that long.
I'm trying to think if I know what it does after that. It just cycles.
Come on and slam!
And welcome to the jam! Come on and slam! If you want a jam! Is that the same song? I don't think they're both very space jammy.
Do a quick goo.
This is the Sue Sylvester Shuffle, but more importantly, it is y'all ready for this the same as Space Jam the song? Da-da-da. Everyone, just wait with bated breath. It is!
Oh,
oh my gosh.
God.
Okay, here we go. Space Jam theme lyrics.
Oh, yay!
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. We're gonna do the space jam. Use your chance, do your dance at the space jam. Alright. Okay, but here's...
I guess I've seen Space Jam.
Here's the conflict.
What is?
Is I'm looking through these lyrics, and at no point do I see the words y'all ready for this.
Dang it, wait.
Which makes me wonder if I'm being gaslighted and they're not in fact the same song. Hi everyone! Hello everyone, my name is Ian Allred and I am a Space Jam Gleek.
Hey, what's up you guys? My name is Lena Knatzer and I'm a basketball playing alien Gleek.
That's very true.
Thank you.
People know one thing about Lena is that she loves basketball.
And I'm not from Earth.
And she's a monster. Get ready for this. It's a different song. Get ready for this lyrics. Y'all ready for this? That's Get Ready for This. It's by 2 Unlimited. And the only words in the entire song are Y'all Ready for This. That's not the Space Jam theme.
Damn it!
You guys, we think it's important that when you mess up, you do acknowledge that you mess up and that you apologize. We want to apologize for saying that Y'all Ready for This was the Space Jam theme. It's not. They're two different songs.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we do not know how the rest of y'all are ready for this. I mean, get ready for this. I'm so embarrassed I didn't get how Get Ready for This by 2 Unlimited goes. So unfortunately, we cannot sing the entire song for you. But we have spent so long trying to remember how it goes that it has essentially spanned the entire runtime of that song.
Absolutely, so.
Okay, let's get into Glee. Okay, everyone, so today we're talking about a little episode that I like to call the Sue Sylvester Shuffle.
That's funny, because I hate to call it that.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Very sorry. I know this is a touchy subject for you. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. Okay, so let's do some Super Bowl glacks.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the glacks.
Okay. Now, if you were wondering why the heck I said Super Bowl glacks, for those of you who don't know, this was, in fact, did you not
know this? No, I didn't know this at all.
Oh, my God.
Wait, for
this real? Is the Super Bowl episode of Glee, yeah.
That answers so many questions
that's
I had
why
about this episode. I was like, why the fuck are they doing a football episode in January? Last week it was Christmas.
Yeah, that's why it's very much an episode for the normies.
Ooh.
It's, like, very light on musical theater, very big on, like, sports and, like, pop music and not musical theater music.
Mm-hmm.
Very light on show.
Oh, that blows my mind!
So, Sue Sylvester Shuffle, everyone, aired on February 6, 2011. You know what else aired on February 6, 2011? Super Bowl 45, and you know who sang at it? Lea Michele. She sang America Be the Beautiful, though. She didn't sing the national anthem. So I don't know, like, how that happened.
Okay.
If they were, like...
Who was playing? I don't know.
Well, you know me. If there's one thing you know about me...
I don't know why I care.
It's that I know who played in every single Superb Owl of all time.
Superb Owl.
It was the Green Bay Packers. Wait, was it?
Go
oh, my gosh.
Go.
It was the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the only football team I care about.
Really?
And the Green Bay Packers. And the Green Bay Packers won.
Go, Pack, go. I don't know shit about sports. Don't get mad at me.
Go Steelers, go. So the reason I care about the Steelers, I know everyone was like, I have to know.
Have you even been to Pittsburgh?
No. Everyone was like, I swear, if you keep talking about Glee and you don't go on a tangent about why you like the Steelers, I'm turning off the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on here.
My fifth grade teacher was from Pittsburgh, Mr. Glee. Maybe I shouldn't
shout
say
out.
My fifth grade teacher, redacted. He was from Pittsburgh. He was like way into the Steelers.
Mm.
And he had a tradition. Every time the Steelers won a game, he would bring donuts to class. That year that I had Mr. Redacted, the Pittsburgh Steelers were undefeated won the Super Bowl. And so we got donuts every game. And so now I'm like, Pittsburgh Steelers, like, I got a place in my heart for you. You gave me so many free donuts. Really, I owe you.
What kind of donuts?
It was Krispy Kreme. Of course,
so
Krispy Kreme.
I haven't had a Krispy Kreme donut in a long time.
I love Krispy Kreme.
Like, probably since before I went to college, because we didn't have a Krispy Kreme in our college town.
That's accurate.
We do have one here in town. Do you want to pause this thing? Go get a Krispy Kreme donut.
Of course, that's more important.
Absolutely.
Speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, they also played in Super Bowl 45. Unfortunately, they did not win, so Mr. Redacted class did not get donuts, but he also had retired by then, so it didn't matter. This was also the Super Bowl where, have you seen the Glee Chevrolet commercial?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. I think someone sent us to that.
Yeah, this is that Super Bowl. Where they do the, like, see the USA in your Chevrolet.
That is so crazy that I feel like my whole life, all I know about the Super Bowl is the commercials are a huge deal and they're very expensive to get. So the fact that Glee, what the hell?
I think.
Well, it's Chevrolet.
I'm pretty sure
and
that's
like a Fox thing.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure that it aired on Fox. You guys, I don't know what station airs the Super Bowl. Did you know that I'm not into sports?
Probably like, ESPN? I don't know,
what TV station is the Super Bowl on? CBS?
What? That's
wait, what?
CBS?
Fox
why?
Sports. Okay.
Is it on a bunch of things? Is it like...
Maybe. Because all I know is, like, the Tony Awards are only on CBS.
Maybe that's, like, a thing.
But I probably, like, multiple stations play the Super Bowl. We're just going to say, for fun, we're going to say that multiple stations show the Super Bowl.
Fun.
And one of them was Fox.
That would make sense. That would make sense because, like, different, like, sports anchors would want to, like, talk about it. You don't just have, like, three dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's probably true. And so Fox put, they had a Glee commercial, and then Glee was their big hit of the time, and so they put a special episode of Glee after, because this was a Sunday, and Glee normally airs on Wednesdays, but it was like Sunday, and then like 3 days after they did Silly Love Songs.
Oh, cool.
And
that's really crazy.
And it is the most viewed Glee episode of all time, with 26 million viewers. Just a bunch of normies who got too drunk to turn their TVs off.
They've been there, sister.
And they just rolled on. It was written by Ian Brennan, and it was directed by Brad Falchuk. He is my favorite. This wasn't my favorite episode of his. I know you really liked it. We'll talk about it later. Anyways, see the USA in your Chevrolet. My favorite thing about the commercial is they just blatantly pretend that Cord Overstreet is Corey Monteith.
Oh, yeah.
Because Corey Monteith was clearly, like, busy that day, and he couldn't be on set. And so they're like, okay, now Sam is with Rachel, and they're being romantic, and they sing together, and we're not going to acknowledge it. All right. So, this episode, guest stars Katie Couric.
Well, ever heard of Barbara Walters.
Not Barbara Walters,
that
not
was confusing
Diane Sawyer.
To me last night. I watched the episode, I was like, wait. She said she wasn't Barbara Walters, and then Sue said this. Like, who is she actually? There's like three separate names.
It's Katie Couric.
No, I know that, but I didn't know that. I don't know who Katie Couric is.
Okay, so the thing...
Do you know who Katie Couric is?
Yes. So my mom was very into the Today Show when I was growing up.
Oh, sure.
And Katie Couric was on the Today Show until like 2003. And so I would wake up every morning and the Today Show would be playing. And so I literally watched it every single day of elementary school. And so, like...
I thought you watched Malcolm in the Middle every day during elementary school.
That's middle school.
Damn it.
We have the receipts. You can go back and listen to it.
Roll the tape.
I'm not going through old sound files to find that. If you care, you can find it yourself. I just assumed that everyone was, like, very familiar with, like, Katie Couric and Matt Lauer problematic. And, like, Ann Curry... And, oh no, the weatherman. What's his name? The one that was on Proud Family. Al Roker.
Al Roker. Yeah. You know, I met Al Roker once.
No.
He was in Waitress on Broadway.
Oh, is the old guy?
Mm-hmm, he was, uh-huh. And then I met him and I said, thank you for being on Broadway, Al Roker.
And he's like, it's happening in theaters, neck of the woods. But yeah, so that's why I know Katie Couric, and I have to remind myself that most children didn't watch the Today Show every day in 2002, and they don't, she's not as much of a household
name. You know what news was on in my house?
What?
Fox. So. Love you, Glee!
The songs in this episode, everyone. We got Need You Now by Lady Antebellum. Did you guys know that Lady Antebellum is a band and not just one lady named Antebellum?
Okay, so you guys have to know this. Ian and I watched the episode together.
But we didn't talk the whole time.
We made a rule
to.
That we weren't allowed to talk, and we would react, and Ian would be like, stop reacting. Or we met eyes like halfway through the episode, and we were like, what? What do you mean? And we were like getting pissed with each other. But... the episode, and Ian is like singing along, and he goes, "Huh, I only know Lady Antebellum's part."
Because it got to Puck's verse, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know this verse. I only know Lady Antebellum's verse."
I was like, "Is this song featuring someone?" So he just thought that Lady Antebellum was a la Lady Gaga, one person.
It rocked my world. It is in fact multiple people, three maybe. I don't know.
Also, we watched the episode in 1.5 times speed. And it was really fast. Honestly, along.
Honestly,
Lady Antebellum, hear me out. Pick it up.
We need more beats per minute.
Way fun.
It's way,
way fun,
better.
Way better.
Hey, you cool cats and kittens. Lady Antebellum changed their name to Lady A last year due to the problematic connotations of the term antebellum, a fact that we were completely ignorant of when we recorded this episode. Sorry about that.
Need You Now is performed by Puck O'Berry. We're back on topic. Mm-hmm. It is the only song that Rachel and Puck sing the entire show.
Interesting.
The only duet they have. The next song is She's Not There But the Zombies. It's performed by the football team. I realized I was going to say the football team and the New Direction guys. And I realized now that Kurt's gone, literally none of them are not on the football team. Then we got Bills, Bills, Bills by Destiny's Child performed by the Warblers. Darren Criss has been like very vocal about the fact that he like doesn't love his performance on this song.
Huh?
And he said like, just like, if Beyonce's a fan of the show, he wants to apologize, like he did his best, blah blah blah. Yeah, he's being
a humble king. Because that number rocks. Are you kidding? I've never heard that.
He's being like facetious when he says it though.
Sure. Well, no one,
I think it's,
listen,
more,
no one can like be any, I get, okay, yes.
Yeah,
sure.
I think it's more the thing that Beyonce, he knows that Beyonce fans are a little, you know, a little much sometimes, and so he like premeditatively is like, I tried my best so that people won't be like, you were nothing like Beyonce. And hear me out, Beyonce's fantastic.
Beyonce's incredible.
But I can understand that he was nervous that people were going to come for him. So he was just like,
makes sense.
Just to be safe, I'm going to apologize. Then we got Thriller / Heads Will Roll by Michael Jackson and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, performed by the New Directions and the Football Team. So this number took 12 hours to film. It was two separate nights.
Oh, I was just going to ask.
Yeah.
12 hours.
That's
more than a nighttime.
That's why they all got there at noon, and then they were like,
wait, it's nighttime.
The sun is out. And they all just sat there for six hours and then started filming. Yeah. It has 500 extras in it.
Yeah.
And also I've heard Michael Malley has talked about filming this number on Showmance, and it was like super cold because it was like January, yeah, probably when they filmed it. And so you're just like,
January, it came out in January.
It came out February 6th.
February?
Super Bowl 45.
Wait, hold on. They filmed the episode a month before it.
I don't know. That's why I said January probably.
All right, sorry, I'm not trying to fight with you right
Goodness
now.
Goodness sakes. But so they just like for two nights in the freezing cold, because he talked about how they had like little space heaters and all the extras were just like huddled around space heaters,
sweetheart,
for hours on end, mm-hmm, until they were like, get in the stands, we have to film you. Aww. And then they would like go back to space heaters. Lea Michele has said it's her favorite mashup in the show, along with I Feel Pretty / Unpretty. And this song, like the studio recording of it, was released twice.
Oh.
If you do the version that is on Glee the Music Volume 5, it is the version in the episode. If you do the single version, which is when it's just like a picture of a slushie, that doesn't have the vocal effects on Cory Monteith, so it's just straight up his talking voice.
That's fun.
It's much less exciting.
Oh, not fun.
It's, yeah, he doesn't have Vincent Price's voice. It's just like, darkness falls across the land. I mean,
that's
much better than that.
Impression.
Thank you, I'm working on it. I want it in my back pocket because people always ask me to do that impression all the time.
I mean, God, you guys, you gotta stop DMing Ian to ask for his Cory Monteith impression.
It's getting tiresome.
It's getting tiresome.
Okay.
Just because he's 6'5 doesn't mean he's Cory Monteith.
Up next, I mean, our next GLACT, hello. This is, because it is a Super Bowl episode, the second most expensive Glee episode of all time.
What's the first?
New York, the season 2 finale. Mm.
Wow,
mm-hmm.
Season 2.
I know, because season 2 was when it was like, boo-boo-boo-boo. And then they went, do-do-do-do-do-do.
They said, where am I? Oh, no, 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 no.
All right. I fact-checked this while we were watching the episode again. When they win, like, they get the running touchdown, I was literally was like, what's the word for that? And the referee is like, hey, you won! I guess they forgot to film that because it's from Preggers. It is.
No.
It is.
What?
The shot of the referee telling Kurt that his kick was in bounds and he won. It's the exact shot. So
you got some good GLACTs today.
Thank you.
You're blowing my mind.
Rachel's football helmet has gold stars on it.
I saw that.
Because, you know, Rachel Berry. Last GLACT. I meant to fact check this and then I simply forgot. But we're going to assume it's true because the holy text says so. Glee Wiki. The first time the scoreboard is shown, it is 17-0.
Yeah.
And then it's shown a second time, and it's 6-0. And then it's shown again, and it's back to 17-0. I assume that's true. We're going to pretend it is, because that's more fun.
Okay. What? I don't know sports.
They just, like, the editor just forgot. That it was supposed to be 6-0,
and
then 17.
Oh,
and
they did that order.
Yeah, and he swept. No, you know that thing on football where you lose 11 points, and they say,
oh, yeah.
Hey, we're going to take these 11 points, but only for a little bit. We're going to take them for 5 minutes.
They're going to be tying out.
And then if you're really good, maybe you we'll can give have them back.
They're like, okay, McKinley High.
No, it's the other school that had the points.
Damn it.
They're the nothing.
What's the other team's name?
You think I know? Keep going, keep going.
No, I don't know the name.
Give a name. And give a high school name right now.
Clearfield High, that was my high school.
Great, go.
Hey, Clearfield High. Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen,
yes.
My friend.
Okay.
You're being a little hard to work with right now.
No.
So see these points that you had and see how, remember how good it felt to get these points?
Yeah.
Well, you cannot have these points right now, my friend.
No, they're my points.
Listen, I know. See, remember this feeling. It feels bad, but we're going to put it away for a minute. We're going to calm down.
No, it's not fair.
And you can have them back at the end of the game, okay?
Okay, fine.
Can you tell?
We're actors. We have BFAs.
That's called weaponizing your BFA.
We paid money to have people tell us how to act. And those are your superb hourglass.
Those are some superb hourglass.
Thank you.
Some of those blew my mind.
Thank you.
I had no idea this was the...
Oh! That reminds me. So, speaking of the 26 million people who watched this episode... I was, in fact, in high school choir during this time, and the Glee comparisons were inescapable. If you were in a high school choir in 2010, everyone talked about Glee to you. And so there was one kid in my choir who would always be like, we would sing at, like, parent-teacher night. And
what?
He was like, there was a moment during that when I just, like, felt like I was in Glee. And I was like, Harper, you've never even seen Glee. Because
Harper.
He hadn't. And he would just always, like, compare our, like, lived experience to Glee, though he'd never seen it.
See, this is what we're having right here, right now.
He's like, this is like Glee.
Dude, Harper, weird.
But he was,
I did the same thing, but weird.
But he would always kind of, like, hate on Glee and how, like, Glee was, like, dumb and weird. And I was like, you've also never seen it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to be fair, he was correct. But he'd never seen it,
also,
so he doesn't have the right.
You cannot say that unless you love Glee.
True.
I do not take people seriously whenever they're like, ugh, Glee sucks. And I'm like, well, do you what? Have you seen an episode?
Yeah, you're like, do you also think it's amazing?
Yeah, and they're like, well, no. And I'm like, well, then, fuck you. Yeah,
anyways.
Your opinion is nothing to me.
So, February 6, 2011, Super Bowl 45, Lea Michele sings America the Beautiful, Green Bay Packers beats Pittsburgh Steelers.
Go, Pat, go. Sorry you didn't get donuts that class.
Boo. February 7th rolls around.
Woof.
Harper, I almost said his last name, Harper Redacted, rolls into choir. He's got a big announcement, everyone. He watched the Super Bowl last night, and he left his TV running. And
oh,
he saw
damn.
An episode of Glee, and didn't you know Glee is kind of good? And he literally was like, you guys, I am the first person in the history of the planet
comes out when shit like that goes down.
To realize that the most popular show currently on television is maybe good, and I maybe enjoyed it. And he seriously was like, I just like, I had a good time, and he kept talking about it. So that's what
dude,
I always think of when I see this
dude,
episode.
Dude, that pisses me off. Sorry, Harper, but, like...
He does, in fact, listen. So, hi, Harper.
Hey, Harper. Sorry about
weird
this.
That we haven't talked since you graduated high school, and we've never seen each other, and you listen to this podcast every week.
Yeah. I mean, he loves Glee, remember?
I mean, frankly, if he did, I would be very flattered.
Yeah, thank you, Harper. Anyway, but still, this doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. But I remember, especially around this time, when I was 14, turning 15. I think it was 15 at the time this episode came out. But, like, I had been loving Glee since season one. And people were, like, getting into it. And I was like, hey, you guys, you didn't put in the work. I like this first. This is mine. That's how I felt about Hamilton, which, like, me for doing that. I remember, I found this tweet on my Time Hop the other day that was, Hamilton got really big in, like, January after the... Do you remember the...
I was, in fact, on another continent,
oh,
so I
damn
don't
it.
Remember.
Well, I remember the cast album came out, like, the day before my birthday, so I felt a mad kinship to Hamilton, as, like, everyone did. So I also, like, watched videos of it at, like, the public. I'm such an asshole. But I remember I just was so obsessed with it. And then, like, I had been begging people to listen to it, and then people finally started listening to it in January, and I was like, And I found this tweet the other day, like from, gosh, like a couple weeks ago. And it was like, I've been begging you all to listen to Hamilton for months. And now it's really crazy that you all like it now. I hate people like that. I hate myself.
You guys, Lena
I did the same
is
thing with
the
Lee.
First gatekeeper.
I hate gatekeepers. Listen, and I hate other people who gatekeep so much, probably because I'm a mega fucking gatekeeper. I hate myself.
So
I'm getting better.
My sister is an anti-gatekeeper, and she's self-aware about it now. But we were talking one time about Glee, and about how when Glee first started, we used to watch it together, and she was like, I feel like I've only really seen the first season. I don't really remember anything else. And she's like, why did I stop watching? And I was like, you stopped watching Glee because it got popular, and then you got mad that it was now mainstream, and so you stopped watching it. And that is 100% what happened. Do you have a recap for us?
I do. It's a long recap. Okay. I feel like somehow this episode has so much going on, but also not a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not a huge Rachel episode for the Super Bowl. That's interesting. She does have
solo. She gets a half a song. That's
and
the
also,
deal.
She is so awesome in this episode.
She is. But I swear it's in Lea Michele's contract that she has to have a solo every episode.
Yeah.
Because there have been multiple episodes this season that are clearly not Rachel-centric.
Yeah.
And she still will get an entire solo song because, like, she has to.
Ridiculous. Here is the recap for you, though.
Filling up!
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's missed on Glee. As tensions rise between the Glee Club and the football team, Coach Beast recommends that the members of the football team join Glee Club and prepare a performance for the halftime show of the championship game. Things turn sour when Sue demands the Cheerios competition be moved up to the same night as the championship game, forcing all the Cheerios to choose between cheerleading and Glee. They choose cheer. The football team gets a taste of their own medicine when the hockey team slushies them and they get embarrassed and quit the football team. But have no fear, the Glee girls save the day and join the team in their absence. But the football team rejoins the team just in time to kill the halftime show and win the championship game. Corinne is so taken with Finn's leadership skills he displays this week that she kisses him right on the mouth. And that's what you missed on Glee! Let's talk about this episode.
Okay.
You don't like this episode?
I don't like it. It's just not one of my favorites.
Huh? Okay.
And especially coming from Ian Brennan, I'm like, okay. One of my big things with this episode is I don't know. It's going to be a controversial take. I already know. I don't know what to make of the soup plot. It is too cartoony that I'm like, is this in the same world?
And are you for real?
And it is, in fact, something I think about every day of my life.
I need you to rewind. Go with me on a journey. Last week, this time, it was a Christmas episode, but you love the cartoony stuff.
Yeah, but that's a holiday episode.
Yeah, this is a holiday episode.
It's Super Bowl 45.
Yeah!
Never mind, I love it. I take it back.
It's magic. And it's so fun. I feel like so many like iconic Sue moments are in this episode.
Well, it's not that that's the thing, is I'm not like, the Sue plot is bad. I'm just like, the Sue plot gives me pause. That like, I don't know. It's Glee's continuing identity crisis.
Okay.
Where it wants to be taken seriously as a drama. And it has, and I mean, like, of course, comedies can have dramatic moments, but, like, the balance is weird. I don't know. And I can't really explain why it's weird to me, but it is, like, it just, it's so, so, so ridiculous. And then Glee also wants to do all these, like, grounded things to have us be invested in.
Oh, sure.
But I also do think a lot of it is funny, so I'm not super against it.
Sure.
It just, like, feels kind of
I
off.
Hear that. I totally hear that. I feel like there's not a ton of, like, grounded, like, super grounded moments in the episode other than, like, maybe the Quinn bit at the end.
Well, like, I feel like the whole, like, the football team and the Glee Club is, like, a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, they do the halftime show, blah, blah, blah. But the stakes of that storyline feel very grounded.
Okay.
That it's, like, it's about bullying, and it's about specifically the bullying that Kurt was getting,
mm-hmm.
and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just my thought on that.
Sure.
That's what, and I also just, like, I don't know, I think the episode is fun, but it doesn't have anything that I'm like, oh my gosh, This is my favorite Glee moment. Yeah.
You know I love this episode. Mm-hmm. We watched it together, and the whole time I was like, just freaking out. This episode is so fun. Like, I think, I just really appreciate these episodes that, like, are just so, like, it's toe-tapping the whole time. Bangers, bangers, bangers only. Well, we can chat about
what song.
I think that the Lady Antebellum choice was weird.
Yeah, you were like, this is supposed to be sung by just Lady Antebellum. Are there two
I know, why
are there
two people here? Lady Antebellum is one person. No, but I mean, like, could you imagine, go with me on a journey, you are a member of the football team. Mm-hmm. You are being forced against your will into the choir room.
This is so on brand.
I know, all the time. God. and then you sit down and you watch Rachel Berry? And now we're getting Puck perform a Lady Antebellum song? Not the move. I feel like if I was going to perform a song for the football team, I wouldn't have picked that one. I know it's not, like, in the world, it wasn't, like, picked for the football team, but also...
What would you have picked?
Thriller.
Okay, that makes sense. But, like, I actually feel like that song makes a lot of sense.
Really?
Because it was, like, the song in 2010. Like, I heard that song, I guess it's 2011 now. We've now rounded the new year.
Oh, sure.
But I heard that song on the radio all the time. Can you imagine if they were like, Rachel, do you want to sing a song for the football team? And she's like, yes, one singular sensation.
That would be
and they'd be like, we're out of here. Sure. I think the fact that it's like a popular song.
I'm thinking about it in terms of 2011, that makes more sense to me. But hear me out. Lady Antebellum, seriously, pick up the pace. It is a banger. 1.5 speed, that song, so good. So good.
That is something that I don't love about this episode is I feel like every song except for Thriller is forced. Every song is like shoehorn a number in, shoehorn a number in, shoehorn a number in.
I totally knew you were going to say exactly that because, like, bills, bills, bills. What is that for? Other than to let Darren Criss be so talented. And he is. He truly is. But, like, what was that for?
Well, and, like...
And to watch those guys do backflips, very cool.
And, like, she's... What is that song called? She's Not There? By the Zombies?
She's Not There!
She's Not There! Can you imagine? They're like, okay...
We should be in that show.
A warm-up number. All the football players are going to sing Superboy and the Invisible Girl.
Wait, let's do it right now.
Next to Normal. I don't know Next to Normal.
Superboy and the Invisible Girl, son of steel and daughter of air. He's a hero, a lover, a prince. She's not there.
What's that note?
I don't know. I'm the one with relative pitch here.
I also don't know that show well enough.
You don't?
All right, no, but we have to talk about Glee. We are over 40 minutes into this.
Are we? Oh, damn it.
Yeah, okay. This is why we can't record in person. But She's Not There by the Zombies.
Okay.
She's Not There by the Zombies is a fantastic number. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so
too
fun.
Good.
The idea that to make sure that you do well on a different number, you are going to take rehearsal time and learn a completely different song and different choreography.
Bonding. It's for bonding.
I'm sorry, that it doesn't track. It doesn't make any sense. It's like so forced that they were like, we need another song in here. Like that would make Thriller worse.
Also,
because of all the time you're taking to do that.
Can we have a quick chat about how these football players need to quit football and join the Glee Club full time? They are way good.
That's true.
Like, if I was a caster of this television show, I would not have picked dancers to be the football players. Like, they are so good. Mm-hmm. And, like, Thriller and, like, She's Not There is, like, so good. It's, like, unbelievable that these football players are, like, that committed to doing such a great job. And hear me out. I hear that at the end, like, with Thriller. But at least, like, give two of them two left feet. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say, you want like the climax of the episode
but like look at like the rest of the Glee Club members. They're regular people. They're regular, like, they casted dancers to be the football players.
And thank goodness they
Thank goodness they did. They're
no
so
complaints.
Good. I don't know about
I them. Like it.
They're so good. They should quit football.
That's true.
Maybe it makes them better dancers. You know how like football players often take ballet to be better football players? Maybe.
That's like
I'm trying to like mind palace this. What? How do I switch that up? You know what I mean? But it's the opposite.
No, it's the same because they're football players.
But they're football players.
They learn to dance.
But they're Glee Club members who join football to be better at Glee Club. What? Who? I don't know.
Yeah, so it's like you are a ballerina, and they're like, you have to play football.
You have to play football. You'll be a way better ballerina.
That's accurate. Mm-hmm. Let's kick this episode off.
We haven't kicked it off already?
With California Girls.
So fun.
It is very good.
Yeah. Okay, do you have different feelings?
No, I don't. I was thinking
you're being very suspicious.
I think it's fun to talk about everything as if I have a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like how some actors like always have a secret.
Yeah.
And so when you like speak to them on stage, they're always like kind of shifty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
They have like their headcanons.
Yeah, their headcanons, they hate
someone.
You. Oh, I love that shit. Yeah. And then they tell you later.
Anyways, California Girls, I really do love.
I love it.
Hear me out, though.
Hearing you.
Not as good, in my opinion, as Ray of Light in the Madonna episode.
I agree. Mm-hmm. But it has fire, so that's exciting. And, like, the boobs that are on fire, that's cool.
Which I
and BMX, are they official members of the Cheerios?
Cheerios always just has, like, eight dudes that just, yeah. like, do whatever
they're
they need them to
trades,
do.
They're jack of all trades, truly. Mm-hmm. They're, like, on stilts sometimes.
Why aren't they
doing
Glee
BMX?
Club?
Honestly, they're probably, hear me out, hey, candidate. Wait, no, they can't be. I was going to say headcanon, they're on the football team as well, but they can't be because
they
conflict.
They just like, every time they're not on the field, they're like, I got to change, and they cheer,
literally.
And then they're like, oh, coach wants me in, and they put the uniform on.
Honestly, they probably would. They're BMX riding and then also on stilts and also like breathing fire. I mean, mm-hmm.
I don't.
They can handle a costume change.
I don't know how much I buy that Sue would choreograph a number this sexual based on her character thus far.
Sure. I agree.
Like,
but is she conservative or is she not?
She's the one that in the Britney Spears episode was like, which to be fair, Toxic was too far no matter who you are.
Yeah.
But even before Toxic, she was the one that was like, Britney Spears is too sexual to do in a high school. Mm-hmm. And then this one, she's like, okay, and firework boobs. And she straight up says like, put in chicken cutlets because I need more jiggle. Very inconsistent to what she has been framed as thus far
absolutely.
In the show. But then also, Britney was inconsistent because in Madonna, she was like, I want all the women to be sexualized.
I could just tell this
Pick
show
Elaine.
Just wants Sue to be the, like, antagonist. And so they'll stick her wherever she needs to
be. Well, that's, spoiler alert, what the show wants every character to be is... We have a slot here that needs to be filled. We'll draw a name out of a hat, and that character will now adopt this personality trait for this episode, and then we'll forget that it ever happened after the story has been told. I feel like Glee is very plot-driven and not even plot. It's very idea-driven and not character-driven.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is crazy because I think it's framed as it's character-driven,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, totally not true.
Yeah, it feels like Ryan, Ian, and Brad. I'm talking about them first name basis because I'm very close friends with all of them.
Honestly.
We just came from lunch with them. It feels like they were like, what's fun stuff that we could do? And they were like, what if we do an episode where Brittany shoots someone out? I mean, not Brittany. Where Sue shoots someone out of a cannon. And what if we do an episode where that's the Grinch? And like, what if we have a wedding episode? And what if this? And what if that? And they're like, okay, let's do all of those. It's not like, what would make most sense for what Finn is going through? What would make most sense for what Sam
absolutely.
Is going through? Yeah, it feels like they just had a bunch of big ideas and they plug in the characters to make those ideas happen.
Mm-hmm. That being said, that number is so cool.
It's very fun. I said vocal adrenaline and the Cheerios.
Oh God, I miss vocal adrenaline.
Need to be wheeled out every few episodes.
Literally.
I know that I'm always like, and the song doesn't further the plot, but vocal adrenaline and Cheerios, I'm always like, I don't care.
Literally.
Let's do it. Stick it in there. I'll watch it.
And I mean, is Dalton kind of the vocal adrenaline of this season?
If they are, they're not doing a very good job.
Literally, hear me out. They're very fun, but they're not the villains in any way.
Well, beyond being the villain, the thing I love, because, like, I know that Dalton has, like, very, very incredible a cappella that New Directions doesn't do things to that caliber, but I'm like, if I wanted to hear lovely singing, I would watch the New Directions. What's so exciting about vocal adrenaline is it's all choreography that the New Directions can't
mm-hmm.
do. What
I have a secret. So I think I might have mentioned this to you maybe once before. Someone sold my phone number. So I get like spam texts all the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like spam, everyone gets spam phone calls. I have started getting spam texts. And they are ridiculous. And most of the time, they're addressed to a man named Gary.
Gary, if you're listening, this we got a text for you.
So this morning, I got a text that was like, Gary, get rid of that stubborn Billy fat. And then I just got a text. Is this Gary? Want your lady to be begging for sex?
No.
Check out what me and my friends use. And then a link.
Gary, no!
Every time I get a text, I block it. I'm trying my best. I never click on the links. I don't know what I did. But I didn't deserve this.
They just want Gary begging for sex. They just want to have some self-confidence. He's going through a really hard time. He needs a win.
He's got this belly fat. His lady never wants sex.
Ladies are not begging him for sex. Gary...
Oh god.
Speaking of Gary, I do have a question. This is legitimately a question. Up until the walk out with the fire boobs and everyone's like walking behind them, are the Unholy Trinity in this number?
That is a great question because Santana has the solo in this song and like
wait. Are they? That's not Katy Perry?
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about Thriller.
Oh, no.
I'm so excited to talk about Thriller.
I'm talking about where we are literally on the first number.
I was thinking the same thing. I don't think I saw Quinn at all in the number. Mm-hmm. I saw Brittany for sure. I don't think I saw Santana either. They could definitely be, but they did not get any camera time.
But it's like, they might. There's a scene where all the chairs are in a line dancing, and I was wondering if Santana's in that. Because Sue is like, you are the leads of this number. And I was like, can we see the receipts?
No, they're not.
I did not see them one time. The BMX bikers
also,
are the leads of this number.
Brittany's in the number more than those two. And she has to be shot out of a cannon. How long does that take? It probably takes like a minute or so to climb in, don't you think?
Yeah, I figured they'd probably do like multiple cheers though. And that was like the grand finale for the last one.
You ever been to a cheerleading competition?
Heck no,
those things
not.
Are bonkers.
Okay, what do you want to dive into?
Should we take it, like, number by number, maybe?
Well, but what about the in-between stuff?
Sure.
Okay, here's my in-between notes before we get to the next number, then. There's a scene where Beast and Will are talking, and Will's like, and they keep bullying the Glee kids. And Will says, it's weird because half your starters are in the Glee Club. And I was like, yes, Are we finally acknowledging that this doesn't make any sense?
Yeah.
That this is the weirdest thing ever, that half the team is in the Glee Club and the football players are still like,
I know.
You guys are lame.
Just hear me out. I don't know what Karofsky does on the football team. I don't know what Azimio does on the football team. I don't know what that blonde guy does on the football team. What do they do?
Who
knows? But I do know that the two fucking quarterbacks are in Glee. They're like the head dudes. And also, Puck is the most popular guy in school. I'm over this.
Who is that blonde
guy? I don't know.
Well, they're just going to pretend he's been there the whole time?
I know.
Literally, I'm like, I'm sorry, it's Azimio, Karofsky, and Blondie?
It's January,
like,
sir. When did you transfer?
The of the football team? Like,
I
what's
know.
That about now?
Azimio and Karofsky forever. Who is this random guy?
Seriously, get out of here. Not my Azimio.
Not
I
my
don't want to see him.
Get the fuck out of my face.
It was very weird. And I swear we,
it's
like,
weird. And they
never
act like
see
we should
again.
Know him.
Yeah, they're like, you know, the blonde curly guy? He's been bullying them since the pilot. We all know him. No, we don't. That's a new, and it's like, if they gave him, like, a line, I would be like, yeah, he's on the football team.
Yeah.
He is as prominent as Azimio.
I know.
As if he's someone that we're supposed to remember.
Honestly, I need more Azimio, less that blonde guy.
For real.
I love Azimio in this episode.
I do too.
When he's like, who's yeah? Also, when he says that musical theater is the music of his oppressors, I love that. That was so funny. Hear me out. God, I love some bullies. I think Azimio, bless so Karofsky, obviously, but Azimio is just so fun.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Ryan Murphy excels at antagonists. Mm-hmm. Where he trips and falls is when he tries to write characters that he wants you to root for. His best characters are characters that are just supposed to be, like, actively rooted against, and they are always the highlight of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Give me a buddy comedy about Azemio and that blonde curly guy.
You know what? I'm into it now. Now I like it. I'm on board. All right, now we can talk about Niji now, unless you have other thoughts before we get there. I did say it's good to see Quinn be Quinn again. She's been so like, I don't know if I want a boyfriend, and I guess I want a boyfriend, and blah, blah, blah. And it was so nice to see her, like, tell it like it is to Sue and be like, the reason you feel this way is because it's not exciting to you, and take charge again.
A great Quinn episode, truly. It could be better.
Yeah, that's my feeling of the fact that it's a great Quinn episode makes me sad, yeah, because she is at most like the fifth most prominent
character.
Yeah, and
also at most she is like everyone else's plot device, because she is like a part of Finn's plot and then she's a part of Sue's plot. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want her. I just love Quinn so much.
Yes?
Faberry Watch. There's this moment. Let's move into
Do it.
There's this moment where Rachel is singing and it immediately cuts to Quinn and she is like holding her hands like next to her face like a princess and like watching her. And then Sam like looks at her and is like, what are you doing? And I think to the untrained eye, everyone's going to be like, well, that's to Puck. To that, I say, no, it's not. That's to Rachel. Faberry Watch. It's canon. Mm-hmm. It's canon.
Speaking of this number, I'm fully prepared for everyone to disagree with me on this. I have very conflicting feelings about it. This number, I was like, wait, why do I like Puckleberry as a couple right now? Oh, hear me out. It's very rough because of things outside of the TV show itself with actors, but these two characters, you know, they call each other on their crap. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that Rachel calls him Noah and she doesn't call him Puck.
Yeah.
And she will, like, tell him when he's being a douche. Yeah. I'm going full Puckleberry right now.
Wait a second. I think I'm on board. Hear me out. The way she walks in is the most, like, mm-hmm, candid with her feelings with Puck.
Yeah.
And is like, hear me out. This is the, like, help me make this guy jealous. Like, just, like, is so randomly healthy. Like, not about her relationship with Finn. Obviously, yeah, she's being unhealthy with that. But the way she's like, hey, here's this offer right now. Do you want to, are you in or no? And like,
and the way that like Puck has a soft spot for Rachel, yeah, but he also will straight up be like, you're being annoying. Like the, yeah, they are, you guys.
Wait, am I into this? No.
Controversial grave statement. They are what the other one needs. That Puck needs like an overbearing partner who will, like, call him on his crap and be like, you're being rude, you're being a bully, and, like, you need to do this. And then Rachel needs someone to be like, hey, maybe take it back. Hey, you're kind of being a little much right now.
That could be Quinn.
Oh, you're, you know what I mean? I literally thought you were saying that Quinn could be the Rachel,
no,
and I was like, under
no circumstances. Oh, no. I mean, heteronormativity. No, I mean, Quinn and Rachel, dude. She could. I wish.
I can see that.
When people tag me in, like, Faberry content, I'm like, God, thank you. Anyway.
But, yeah, I personally...
I hear what you're saying, though, and I like that, yeah.
This number started, and I was like, ugh, why are these two singing together? And, like, this song is so forced. And then by the end, I was like, they should get married. I was
you were like,
fully won
that's
over.
Hey, wow.
Also, you know who else is feeling that way? Will Schuster, he is straight up checking them out. He does little like looks up and
like,
down.
Oh, Puck.
And it's like, those are your students, they're teenagers. Please, yeah, do not check them out like that.
You know, Puck doesn't know how to play the guitar.
Wait, like
at all. Like Mark Salling. Like, if he does, then he's being really lazy on shooting days and he like only holds the C chord the entire time. And I was like, there's chord progressions here, bitch.
It's a magic guitar.
I love those.
I also love Beast when they show them.
Oh my gosh,
along.
Beast? Okay.
Very good.
Not to like jump the gun.
No, do it.
I love Beast in this episode. Mm-hmm. As a person who doesn't know about sports, I do appreciate, and like I grew up kind of being like sports versus arts kind of kid. So I appreciate as an adult looking at characters who are like kind of candid about how good sports are for young people. And like, I just never have understood that. And watching Beast be like, you know what? Like, this school needs a win. And then also be such an incredible coach to like, no, we're carrying this through when they kick the people off the football team, when they leave the football team. And she's, and they're like, no, we're like keeping this. We're doing this. And like, they're such an amazing coach. And like watching them watch the football team like be so awesome. And they're like freaking out. Oh my gosh. I think Beast is one of the coolest characters in this show.
Also, controversial break statement. Besides Never Being Kissed, you guys, we already talked about it, it was terrible. Mm-hmm. Besides that episode, I really like Will and Beast's relationship.
I know.
I like that they're like equals, and Will has like a lot of appreciation for the football team, and Beast has a lot of appreciation for the Glee Club, and it's not the arts versus sports thing that is like Sue and Will, but it's like, we actually make each other better, and we, like, serve the entire school between our two groups.
Honestly, and, like, watching Will, like, stand with Beast for the entire football game, I was like, why doesn't this feel weird to me that Will's there? But it's like, no, they're best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got a really nice, like, relationship where they genuinely, like make each other better people. I love it. I agree.
And, like, I don't have very many Will notes in this episode.
No.
When he's with Beast, he's at his best.
Maybe do I?
Anyways, what are you talking about next?
I don't know.
Okay, well, here's my next notes. We get maybe our first, but if not our first, definitely our biggest Sue tantrum in this episode.
Oh, this is the moment.
I love a Sue tantrum.
Literally.
I love when she physically assaults students and pushes them against a wall. It is so funny to me.
I also think it is comedy gold doing it twice.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, had no business being that funny. But having Will be like, yeah, man, it was nuts. Like, she was freaking out, and then have her come in not 4 seconds after her last tantrum. And I don't think there was a commercial break.
I don't think so either.
God, it's incredible.
It is good.
Comedy gold. Ian Brennan, that's for you. I can pat myself on the back for the kids listening at home.
What are more, let's get Sue out of it right now. Give me your Sue thoughts.
Ooh, Sue looking fly as hell.
Like her high collar
literally,
tracksuit.
And like the sunglasses, and Becky had
Lady
on sunglasses
Tremaine
too.
Who?
Literally. She had no business looking that great. And she's like, I think Sue is awesome in this episode. And she's like, I don't make a habit of touching carnies, but sir. And then she gives him a handshake. She's so cool. Like, hear me out. I totally get where you're coming from with, like, the writing of Sue is never consistent. And this is a picture-perfect example of her being so inconsistent. But hear me out. Jane Lynch needs every award in the world. She is incredible in this television show. Like, such a shining star. So beautiful. So awesome. Oh, my God. I cannot.
No, she knocks it out of the park. Sue is the character I have the least complaints with, usually.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is the writing, because I think she is like Ian Brennan's bread and butter. And so he knows exactly what to give her.
Certainly.
But also, Jane Lynch just knows how to make things work, because she's such a talented actor that she can like justify things and like make her change of hearts make sense. And you're like, yeah, okay,
she totally does. And like, not until, honestly, this rewatch, when we like look at things like fairly like objectively, as objective as you and I can be. I don't know.
Which
about
is very
that.
Objective.
Yeah.
The most objective.
Objective journalism.
We're perfect for juries.
Yes.
Don't.
Oh my
please,
God, would you
please
love
do
to
not
do
put me on a jury.
I would love.
Why?
Paperwork. So fun. Maybe this is like the creepazoid in me, but I just would love to like be in just like a really long trial that like gets long, and I like 12 angry jurors it, and like we get in fights, and like we're like, ugh, we can't agree. You know what I mean? I'd love that. That's the drama of the century.
You're picturing that it's like a murder trial.
Yeah.
What's probably going to happen is like, this person took this thing from the 7-Eleven and they didn't pay.
That's
and you
true,
have to spend 3 days hearing about it.
Yeah, I'd let them go free.
I've gotten jury duty twice. I've never been picked for the jury. Every time I walked in and was like, please, please don't let me get picked
Are
for this jury.
Are you kidding me? How do you get picked for jury duty? While you've been in college?
Yeah.
In our college town?
One of the times, the way I got out of it was I was like, hi, I go to college out of state. I'm not coming home for jury duty. And they were like, okay, you're excused.
Dude.
But one of the times I had to like actually go in and do the
questionnaire. Can I go in as you?
Yeah, we look exactly alike. So do you have any more Sue thoughts? Literally, my Sue thoughts is just, I don't know how I feel about the plot line, but I do find her very funny. Yeah.
And that's
I love Becky smashing wine bottle against
such
it.
A doll. The wine bottle, you mean champagne?
Champagne! I don't drink. They're all the same to me.
I know.
I was like, it's one of the long-necked ones.
Yeah, that's probably all my Sue thoughts. Just Jane Lynch is so incredible.
Okay, let's get bills. Like the whole, remember Kurt's still in the show? It's like ever since he went to Dalton, it always feels like there's a scene where they're like, oh yeah, Chris Colfer's in the show. So here's Kurt a little bit.
Also, isn't it so sad that even in this, where it's supposed to be, we're supposed to be seeing it through Kurt's eyes, Kurt's truly not in it at all.
Blaine
Marble, I love
you. Is worse than Rachel. Hear me out. He runs this club with an iron fist.
Nobody even questions it. It's that bad.
Mm-hmm. And like, he's in charge. Like, Rachel at least has someone enabling her. And I mean, like, I think if she had full reign of the Glee Club, she'd give all the solos to herself. But like, Blaine was... He's not even on the governing board, though, right?
No.
What's going
he's
on?
Also
I swear,
a young person in this club.
Yeah, he's only
just
a
meet
sophomore.
Him and be like,
I swear,
be the lead.
He has some dirt on the governing, like those three
what
senior
the dirt
warblers.
Is? What do you think the dirt is?
Oh my gosh, he saw them take something out of 7-Eleven and they didn't pay for it.
Damn it.
And he was like, this could go to trial for 3 days. I don't want to get 12 people. Wait, yeah, it's 12. I don't want to make 12 people do jury duty for this, but if you don't give me your solos, I guess I'll have to. He never once does anyone else get a solo. Also, he doesn't audition for solos as seen in special education.
I know, he like stage manages the
right?
auditions.
He's he's the guy, he's like the hype man at the auditions. He's like,
hey, great job.
You're going to do amazing. You're going to do amazing. You're going to do amazing. And then
and
the
then
list comes out
it.
And he's like, what? Great. I got the solo. What? And literally, he's in the room because he tells Kurt why Kurt didn't get a callback. Uh-huh. So, like, he's clearly in the room and they're discussing it.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those things that's like, you know, hear me out, I'm casting a show and you are like in the process with me and I'm like, God, Ian, I would love for you to be in this show, but you don't audition. And then a bunch of people audition and then I go to you and I'm like, none of them got the chops. You have to do it. Maybe something like that every time.
No, I picture it that the three warblers, like the three leads are in, they're in the meeting, and Blaine walks in. And they're like, Blaine, you're not supposed to be in here. And he just like flips up his phone and has the camera that's going from 7-Eleven. And they're like, okay. And then they're talking and they're like, I don't know, I think like Jeff did a pretty good job. And they're like, maybe we could split Soul Sister in half and give like half to Nick and half to Jeff. And then Blaine's just like, flips up his phone, shows in 7-Eleven video, and they're like, or I guess we could give to Blaine. But yeah, it's the Blaine fan club. Like, he just makes everyone do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And literally, Kurt, like, transferred schools and just, I'm sorry. Also, the whitest dancing I've ever seen from Kurt in this number is embarrassing.
That's how he dances all the time anyway. He's always like, do, 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 do. Like, he's like, all, like, elbows, like, right to his, like, waist, and he'd, like, he dances like Baby Groot, you know what I mean? Like, in his pot, where he's like, like, he can't move anything but his, like, head and arms. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
I also love that this number ends with Blaine going, guys, I'd say we're ready for regionals, and then we never hear this song ever again.
Well, this show is weird in the sense of, like, they are always practicing. Because, like, the football team does it, too. They're like, we gotta practice. Let's do a random thing.
Let's do
thing
a completely different number,
doing.
Yeah. Back on Dalton Gate. Is it a boarding school? Is it just
a
private school?
Oh my god!
Okay, so in the Christmas episode, we were like, definitively, it is a boarding school. Kurt is there late at night studying. It's an hour and a half from his home. Why would he still be there? And then this episode, Kurt is like, oh, well, I bring within a glass of warm milk every night.
So we
can
have lady chats.
What's that about?
I was thinking the same thing.
Also,
ridiculous. Like, I also don't think that this show is even taking into account how far away this school is. So I don't even think it's on their radar that it could be a boarding school.
Well, beyond that, if you were, like, gonna cram for a test after school, you would just go home. Like,
yeah, that's like a college thing to, like, study at school.
Even if Westerville is, like, a hop, skip, and a jump away from Lima, like, why isn't Kurt studying in his bedroom. He's waiting for Blaine to show up. Honestly, answered it. I forgot.
Yeah, that's true.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about the football game against Clearfield High School. Okay, here's my big thing.
Okay.
So the deal, what we're all here to do, is the football team has to be with the Glee Club for a week, and they have to perform the halftime show. And if they do not perform the halftime show, they're kicked off the football team. Mm-hmm. And Azimio is like, we have to perform the halftime show? Like, that's ridiculous. And we as an audience are supposed to be like, Azimio, you're wrong. He's correct.
It is weird. And the so they can take a break.
Yeah, the reason there is even a halftime is for the athletes to go to the locker room, relax, have the coach come in, like, give them some plans. Exactly. It would be like if we were in a show and they're like, and for intermission, you guys are going to tap dance for the audience. And it'd be like, over my dead body, are we doing that? I am lying on a couch and looking at all my texts. That's what I'm doing. It's so dumb. I would be pissed off if they were like, after exerting yourself for an hour and a half, you then have to sing and dance and then exert yourself for another hour and a half. And
especially then, like, that number is so high energy and so crazy, and they do such a great job because they're all like professional dancers somehow. Like, give them a break.
It's dumb. Also, Will is like, we're going to do the Super Bowl of pop anthems, where I was like, way to shout out Super Bowl 45, Will.
Wink,
wink, wink, wink.
He said Super Bowl.
All you normies who left your TVs on, we know what you are watching. We're one of you. Then Mercedes is like, I mean, I love Michael, but
that's what they're going to be expecting.
Who's expecting that?
Could you imagine if Clearfield High, went to McKinley High and they did that? I'd be like, is a game changer. What?
You're like, what? Who's doing the halftime show? Is it the Cheerios? No, actually, it's the Glee Club. Ugh, they're probably going to do Thriller by Michael Jackson. Who is this person that is like, oh my gosh, the most basic choice for a show choir to do at a football game is Thriller. Also, Sue is like, up yours, Beast and Will. Guess what? I'm moving the regional cheerleading competition to the same night as the halftime show so that your cheerleaders can't be in the halftime show. And straight up, Will is like, well, if they don't do the halftime show, they're kicked out of Glee Club. Why? Why?
And,
why could he not be like, okay, I understand you won't be at this performance.
Well, I just like to take the week off.
It's not a competition. Also, like, it's a club.
The way that the show is so high stakes.
Like, why?
I love it.
Why do they have to pick between? Like, it is a dirty move by Sue for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
That like three of the girls cannot be in Glee Club for that performance, and I get that. But why is the Glee Club like? Well, if you don't perform at the halftime, you're out of the club. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, you are not in the position to be kicking people out of this club. You barely have 12 members. Like, you literally had to go and recruit someone to qualify for sectionals.
Who did they have to recruit?
Lauren.
Speaking of Lauren.
Yeah!
Lauren in this episode is my whole world. I love her so much. She is so fun. She really said women's rights. I feel like this is, like, the girls in this episode.
Very fun.
So fun.
Very fun.
And let's think about, what's the episode? I don't remember the names. You'd think I watch this show professionally.
You haven't.
Have never seen the show. The one where they, like, do the Glee Girls, the Glee Girls with boyfriends chat.
Oh, okay. Beep blorp. It's, It's Never Been Kissed.
Yes, Never Been Kissed. And, like, Rachel is like, we gotta be feminists of the year. We have to get our boyfriends to, like, help out Kurt. You know, understandable. Mm-hmm. This is that, but way better. Obviously, it's different circumstances, but it's like, you know what? We're in it. We're gonna help out. And they do. And it's so... I love the girls in this episode. And Lauren especially. Rachel's like, we're not gonna play. We're just gonna lay down. And Lauren's like, I'm gonna feel bad. It is everything to me. And she's like, what does she say to them? Like on, like in the football, like on the arena. I don't know if it's anything about sports. I think that's a fun thing about me. That I don't know anything about sports and I refuse to learn.
On the, when they're in the football court, what is it, what does she say?
But she says something like, you're gonna die. Oh my god.
I love in that scene. I love that whole scene. I love when they all walk out and Rachel is so excited to be there. Like biggest smile on her face, like wow.
Okay, let's talk about Rachel. This is one of my favorite Rachel episodes, probably of all time.
Because of Lady Antebellum.
So absolutely, I love it. It's especially when it's at 1.5 speed, I swear to God. But she is the most adorable she's ever been. The way that she like gets into like position, like, and she's like, she's got like one leg extended.
No!
And then she's like giving everyone high fives. She's like, go teammate, go! And zombie camp when she's like doing like da 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 da, and like just like all arms, like she cannot be a zombie. She's so sweet.
She also does when they're like, we don't even have enough to play, like to qualify for state, and she goes, actually, we have an idea. We want all the Glee girls to join the football team. And then she has the Barbie hands on her hips.
Yeah.
It's so great. So cute. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I love them. And they all like sign permission slips already. Oh, I love an organized queen, Virgo. I swear to God. Rachel is so sweet in this episode. She takes out her little like mouth guard. She's like, let's get some man! I want to bottle Rachel's energy in this episode and snort it. It is so good. I love it.
And then when they're at the huddle and Finn is like, all right, punch and Judy on three. And Mercedes goes, Who's Judy?
So many like random like tiny lines in this episode that are so funny.
Not in the
Mellencamp way. Or like, who is, yes. Who's Judy?
That, like, giving tertiary characters banger lines is like Ian Brennan's bread and butter.
Honestly, that, like, mine too.
Girls on the football team scene is so, so funny. The entire scene is excellent.
Excellent. And like, just, they're so sweet about it. Like, the way that Tina's like, I really want to play. And then she gets the phone.
It runs.
I really wish she would have gotten the touchdown. I think.
They couldn't let her. They were like, we cannot let Tina win.
Play the jingle.
Tina, they did you so wrong. Tina, Cohen Chang.
So, question before we get to Thriller. Finn just up and leaves the football game.
Which I thought they didn't have enough people on the team.
Right? I was like, that's not
also
allowed.
Artie has not played at all.
Yeah, because you can't throw a wheelchair at a teenager. They'll die. The Beast let him on the team and was like, wait, I didn't think this through. This doesn't make any logistical sense.
I know, which is so stupid to me. Not in that sense, but in the sense of they made a huge stink about getting Artie on the team.
Yeah, they don't have to do
anything. Why don't they have him play? Or they haven't even said anything about why he isn't playing.
Mm-hmm. Finn up and leaves. They now don't have enough players that the game's over. But he goes to the Cheerios. Why haven't they left yet? What time does this regional competition start?
Oh, it's like the last, oh, I don't know.
It's the first half. It's the second quarter. Yeah. I'm guessing. Guys, I like to like say things confidently as if they're true. I think that's right. I don't know though. But it is the first half for sure.
This podcast is going to air right after the Super Bowl. So
a
lot of sports people will be in on it.
It's airing like 2 weeks ago. Darn it.
Did the Super Bowl
air? It already happened. Yeah.
Okay.
You guys, we love sports. We're up to date. Anyways, it's April right now.
I don't know. About sports. I think I know what the Super Bowl is. You act like
also,
I should know.
I said 2 weeks ago. If it's April, it was like a month and a half ago. Anyways, but they haven't left.
Yes.
And it's like football games, I feel like, start usually at like 7 or 8 p.m.
Sure.
So is it now like nearing 10 p.m.? And they haven't even left? Like, does this competition start at 11? Why are they still there? It does not
track.
The show
is stupid.
It does.
That's why.
It's unseasonably...
Unseasonably
dark. The sun went down at 3 p.m.
Headcanon. They think they're in Ohio. Actually in Alaska.
They had 1 hour of sunlight. And like 80% of this like episode was in that 1 hour. And now it's night. Also really fast, I was looking before we get to actual thriller, I was looking through my notes. I have to shout out this Sue line when she tells Brittany that if she doesn't get in the canon, the act will be all boom boom and no pow. And Brittany, that is so 2000 and late.
I love this show.
I literally,
we do not deserve Jay Lynch.
I don't have words for how funny that line is. It and like how completely straight it is played.
Yeah. Also, like
Ian Brennan, I forgive you for the things I don't like about this episode because that line is very
strong. I love
everything
about this episode. But the way that Sue has to sit down and write out a note from the canon to Brittany in Cram.
And
she does that so she...
He's got two baby cans at home and his wife has fibromyalgia
so she can't work.
I mean,
it's so funny.
Even though the plot line is like weird to me, I can't deny it.
No.
It makes me laugh. It is also the Sue plot line I think of most frequently. Hey everyone, did we mention that we're guest starring on another podcast called Typecasting? We had an episode come out yesterday. We're doing a third episode that comes out next Tuesday. If you want to hear me bring up this exact plot line about three different times. All right, heads will roll thriller. You started to mention this earlier, but I was talking about California Girls. How are they going to do this number without
Santana?
Santana
had the solo.
Was it... Will was like, Tina.
Oh, gosh, no!
You're going to sing the yeah, yeah, yes portion.
Yeah.
She was like, yes.
She said, yeah,
she's
yeah, yeah.
Dude,
probably.
She said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She said,
and then Santana walks in, and Will's like, ooh, Tina, Santana's...
No, she said...
No, no, no.
And then she took the solo from her. Play the jingle again.
Tina, they did you so wrong. Tina, Cohen Chang.
I love that headcanon that Tina had been practicing the solo.
It's West Side Story all over again.
Literally.
It's tonight all over again.
Heads will roll. Tina's heads.
Also, there's a moment when Finn starts doing the monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts to Carol and the pure joy on her face. She like acts, she's like all surprised that like Finn has a moment and she's like so excited.
Carol? I love her.
Carol Hudson is such an angel.
I know.
There also,
I would die for Carol Hudson.
Bert gets a lot of praise and he deserves it.
Carol,
you guys.
No one talks about Carol.
Where's the Carol
God,
praise?
Remember that Tumblr thing, like the character ranker? Carol fucking erasure. You
was
know what
she
I
not
mean?
On
she,
it?
No. But Bert was. Let me tell you, I have words. No, that is so fucked up because Carol is so awesome.
I love Carol.
Oh, my God.
I love just the Carol Finn dynamic is so sweet to me.
Yeah.
I also want to cut out a moment in Firth that I forgot to mention, which is during Marry You, Carol comes down the aisle. And it shows Finn, and he is watching her come down the aisle. It, like, almost makes me tear up every time.
Yeah,
just, like, the look on his face watching his mom come down the aisle. You guys.
God. And teenage boys who love their mom, like, they're few and far between. They truly are. Have you ever met a teenage boy who, like, it loves his mom all the time?
Yeah.
You?
I wasn't. Can you imagine? I was like,
no,
yeah.
You're...
Me.
No, you're a turd, I'm a turd. I was such a turd to my mom in high school, but yeah, totally. He's also a turd to his mom sometimes.
He's a teenager.
Yeah, and also he's Finn Hudson. He kicks something in this episode, does he?
I don't know.
I think so. Yes, because in like when they're fighting in the football locker room, and...
what were you going to say? In the football studio?
Dressing room.
They're all nervous because they have to perform at the intermission of the state finals on the football stage. And so they're all in the football dressing room talking about it.
Yeah, that's literally all the words I want to say. No.
And Beast is like, you can't keep coming to football rehearsal if you don't perform at intermission.
Yeah! No! In that scene, in like the beginning scene where, and that's the TikTok line where we have, it's that scene, you know what I'm talking about? Where Beast is like, you guys are like, you guys are like, aren't being a team right now. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I just laughed because she sounded like an air horn. She's like, you guys.
And, but Finn walks away, kicks like a helmet.
Oh.
A Finn kick moment. Not a chair this time, though.
I mean, I'm equal opportunity for all.
You know who said that? A Z.
The blonde curly O.
Out of here.
All right. Do you have any more thriller thoughts? It's a very good number.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think we've said that. The number is incredible.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And like, hear me out. I don't go to a lot of sports games. I don't know if you know about this about me. And I didn't in high school. I used to go to sports games in high school and then have panic attacks and call my mom and have her come pick me up. Yeah. I was like, I think this is a character flaw of mine. I always... Oh my God, how do I even say this? I think the root of that, those panic attacks were, there were things to pay attention that weren't me.
You guys, please welcome Rachel Berry to this podcast.
She's a type one and I'm a type three. Kick rocks.
Second half of the game. This moment's funny that they're like, they keep their zombie makeup on and then like they do the play and then one of the Clearfield High players is like, one of those zombies bit me. And then it shows, like, one of the Titans, and he's, like, laughing, and you're supposed to be like, oh, he's the one, he bit him.
Did you think he actually bit him?
How?
I know, they've got, like, things
on. They have
on.
A football helmet on. Did he take off his helmet? Seriously, he's like, pop, and then, like, puts it back on?
They,
that doesn't
in that
work.
Brains moment, they're all, like, putting their, like, hands around their head. They're like, brains. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is that about? I've never seen a zombie do this before.
You haven't?
All the zombies.
That's iconic zombie.
Really?
You're like, they're messing with their hair. It's
all
they
the
must
zombies
be a zombie.
Ever met. They've never done that.
What I love about that moment is that it does a close-up of Karofsky saying brains. And I'm like, dude, you have no makeup on. You're just a guy.
Idiot. You're just a guy saying brains.
Go in the back. We don't need you up front.
Also, what is I was just going to ask, what is Karofsky's, like, he's like a linebacker, right? Well, he's like a blocker. He's like some quarterback. I literally
you
tried.
You think I would know.
You think I would know?
No, I have no idea.
I wouldn't know.
He's the footballer. He's the football player.
Yeah, but he's the one who like blocks people from tackling the quarterback. So he's the halfback. Oh God, I don't even know why I'm trying. Well, let's talk about Karofsky in this episode. So we have Karofsky. Everyone's like talking very openly about how Karofsky's a bully, like in front of him. They're like, well, hear me out, you guys. The way that Karofsky bullies is because he's ignorant. And then Karofsky's just sitting there. He doesn't say anything. You know what I mean? I feel like the like bullies I knew wouldn't stand for that. Like they wouldn't like let people like say that about them. Also, I have a tough time in this episode because I really want to root for Karofsky in this episode, which is weird. You know, like there's that moment where he like goes up to Finn and is like, hey, like, you know, maybe we should like do a number together. You tell he's like having a good time in the club, mm-hmm. which is so sad, you know, and like having Finn truly like think that like, and they had that moment where they're like, hey, like great pass, like great, like, I don't know words, but like, and like they have that moment of connection and then Finn's like, hey, let's go to Dalton. Like, let's make this better. It's better between us. Let's make it better between my brother and you. And I'm so sad. Mm-hmm. But I totally was like trying to root for Karofsky this episode. I have conflicting feelings about that, I guess.
No,
not that I don't think people like deserve like a second chance.
No,
obviously,
it's a touchy subject because it's like he is a child.
Yeah,
like he's a child, and so it is hard because like kids do awful things and they just like have all these emotions and they don't know what to do with them and they do awful things. But then at the same time, you're like, but he did like sexually assault Kurt.
Uh huh.
It's not like, oh, he was mean. So it is hard because you're like, he's young. And he clearly has like a lot of internalized homophobia and also just like a lot of aggression, which is not uncommon in teenagers. And he like doesn't know where to channel it. But then at the same time, you're like, but he did take things really far. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's a lot. So I get it. I think Max Adler does a great job.
You know what? And that's, I think, the solace I find in that is Max Adler is a really great actor.
Well, and I like that he doesn't stand up for himself. I think that adds to it, that adds to the fact that, like, he really hates himself. Like, it's not coming from a place where he's just like, and like the world sucks. It's coming from a place where he's like, I have so much like darkness inside of me about myself that I'm just like projecting it onto other people. And so when people are like saying these things about him, about like, he is a bully, he doesn't like fight back because he is kind of like, yeah, I am.
Oh, that's sad then. It's so sad, like, the moment in the hallway with the hockey players, and he's like, hey, like, no, we just did this number. It was awesome. And then it means, just, like, that joy. And you can see, like, I think that's, the truest joy we've seen Kurofsky have, just get spiked down so fast.
Well, and that is a very real thing.
Absolutely.
Is there's a lot of kids in high school who, like, would actually love to do the arts, but are, like, so afraid and embarrassed to do it. Yeah. Speaking of the hockey players, though, you remember who used to be a hockey player?
David Kurofsky.
That's never been mentioned again.
I know. Also, I love how they all have mullets. That's very exciting to me. Mm-hmm. Also, do high schools have hockey teams?
Mine didn't.
Mine didn't either.
I mean,
and I'm
also
from,
was, like,
Utah.
In Arizona, though.
And I'm from, like, Utah. You'd think that, like, ice sports would be a thing here. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Let us know, Ohio.
Also, Finn goes to Kurofsky at the end, and he's like, anyways, I think, like, what you're saying, he's like, we should go to Dalton, because I think they're going to want you to make things right with Kurt before you join the Glee Club. And then Kurofsky's like, what are you talking about? But also, like, what is he talking about? Like, it was so weird to me that Finn was just like, oh, so naturally all you football players are on the Glee Club now. Like, no, it was very clearly only a week-long gig.
Yeah.
And he isn't like, Dave, like, you actually did a really great job and that was so fun. You should think about joining. He's like, oh,
he's
well,
like,
obviously you want to be on the team.
Obviously. Yeah, totally. It was very presumptuous on Finn's
part.
He
is the king of presumptions, let me tell you.
So true. Ugh, do you think you'd get along with Finn Hudson? I don't think I would.
I don't know.
I would try my best. I try to date him for sure.
Also think that season one Finn Hudson is a much better Finn Hudson than
absolutely.
Season two.
Absolutely. That's the thing is, I think I said this a lot in season one, that I was just like so surprised at how awesome Finn was. And like, as the show progresses, I do not feel like, I super don't feel that way anymore. Like, he's definitely a more, like a character who just like has far more flaws. And, like, in the not fun way, you know? Like, everyone has flaws, obviously. I mean, I wouldn't know, though. But it just in the not fun way. But, like, season one Finn is so different than season two Finn.
Uh-huh.
Very presumptuous. What a But you know who likes him this episode?
Quinn Fabray, Queen.
She's like, why is he being so hot and leadership-y this week?
Also, long sleeve cheerio Quinn. That's peak Quinn. That's
so cute.
That's Quinn Prime.
Oh, speaking of the Cheerios, I loved seeing like just them like on the sidelines cheering.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'd ever seen that before. Just watching them like rub their pom poms together and just like be cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
I think we forget that the Cheerios are cheerleaders. Like, they probably like, let's think about Quinn's schedule for a second. Like, she probably is an A+ student, no doubt. She is balancing everything on her plate. She had a baby last year. She's in the Glee Club, and we don't know for an X amount of time. I don't know how long the Glee Club takes. When is it? Is it every day? Is it once a week? I have no idea. But she probably goes to the games like every day, and like, or like some sort of like Cheerios practice every day, and like goes to games on the weekend. And she still like is dating everyone in this fucking club.
And she still has time to kiss people who aren't her boyfriend.
What is up with these teenagers?
Such
cheaters.
I also, and this storyline has just started, and so, like, we'll talk more about it later. Like, that feels untrue to what she has been through.
I know.
Once again, it feels like they write the show idea-based and not character-based, because I don't really buy that. And it's not a moment of, like, Quinn's talking to Finn, and they talk and they feel that chemistry again, and they get like caught up in the moment and kiss, and they're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah, it's deliberate.
It is premeditated. Mm-hmm. She is like, I'm going to wait in this hallway to kiss Finn. It feels untrue to the arc she went through in season one. I just, They were like, we need some drama. So I guess Quinn's a cheater again for some reason.
Yeah. And also, the last time we saw Fabrevins interact was like regionals.
And, mm-hmm. and it was like them finally getting together.
Yeah. And them finally getting together, him essentially proposing to her, mm-hmm. and them having like a really, they had a time of their life.
And they owed it all to each other.
Time of my life.
Let's get to the Katie Couric of it all. Very funny. List very of funny. Losers. Very funny. Here's a question. Did Katie Couric kiss Will Schuster?
Probably.
She for sure did.
What makes you think that?
Because in the world of this show, Will Schuster has...
He's irresistible.
He has the sexual magnetism of, like, a siren. And... that little song and dance they do when they're like, he's like showing her the step and she's next to him. They are very comfortable with each other. She for sure at least kissed him.
Yeah, they probably hooked up.
Yeah.
That is canon for
sure. That's canon. Katie Couric is the eighth member of the William Schuster Subblock Tango. It's canon.
I love that. It is the most random shit in the world that Will is being interviewed for Sue's like loser interview. And also gives the worst input ever. Like, yeah, she deserves it. Thanks, Will. Thank you. Jeez. I was like, could you, like, give me some, like, input as to, like, who Sue is? Because he's
he
just, like...
He doesn't interview well.
True. You know, he does do well. Seduce women.
Mm-hmm. Seduce famed news anchor Katie Couric.
I like how Azimio doesn't know the word sequin, so he says sequin.
That
so
is
funny.
Very good.
Like, he's only read it. You know those words that you've mm-hmm. only read before, but you've never heard, like, out loud?
Ring, 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 hello? Subtool is calling.
Subtool! Oh, I thought you were going to mention how I thought that Union Pacific Creek was Onion Pacific. I thought for sure that was going to happen.
Oh, no.
I just had
no,
to
no.
bring it to myself.
I heard the word subtle. I would hear people say subtle.
But subtle.
And I would read the word subtool, mm-hmm. and they were synonyms. And so, like... like into high school, I was like,
no.
That's a subtle. And then I think it was like a reading out loud in class. Thankfully, I was not the one reading, but it was a reading out loud in class and it was subtle. And the kid said subtle. And my brain was like, wait, that's the same word.
He said, hold on.
Yeah.
God, all the football players bring their Letterman jackets into the showers. They've got them, like, hooked on, and, like, all the boys are, like, sitting there with their Letterman jackets on, showers, full blast, steam. Ew. Right?
But if they don't have them with them, how will people know they're football players? You got
right.
it, you got it, you know, you cracked and moldy leather, who cares? They gotta know.
No, those are probably, directly lonely. I couldn't think of the word.
Also, Artie's zombie makeup is so upsetting.
I know.
It's like, what is it? Is it like the up, like they paint a false mouth on his upper lip?
Yeah, I think it's like to make his jaw look broken.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
And then during, she's not there. He does it like bird move.
And he's like,
that is in my nightmares. That's a compliment. It's fantastic,
it's
but
like,
it's so scary.
What's the word? Like core memory, but also the scary one? Core nightmare? I think they're the same.
Sure, sure, sure.
Core nightmares.
Well...
I think
is that
a season
wrap? That's a season wrap on Super Bowl 45.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Dum, dum, dum.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
All right. Let's get into some best part, worst part. What's your best part?
Oh, okay. I think my best song, jeez Louise. Honestly, bangers, 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 bangers.
That's
it's
true.
It's hard to pick. I think I'm going to pick... controversially, yet brave. Were you doing something?
No, but
okay,
now I'm excited. I think I know what you're going to say. Say it with controversial
me.
And brave.
Yeah, ready? 1, 2, 3. Bills, baby.
I knew you were going to say
in
that.
In my notes, I said, bills, motherfucking bills, baby. It's so good. And I know it makes no sense in the plot. But hear me out. Our humble king, Darren Criss, he truly pulled out all the stops for this. And it's so good. It's so fun. I love those warblers. You know, they're not my vocal adrenaline. Mm-hmm. I do love my vocal adrenaline, but it's so good. I think my best part in the episode has to be the girls. Like, the girls running the football team, it's everything to me. Rachel Barry being just the cutest she's ever been. So helpful. Like, I love her. Go team. Like, what? Oh, so good. Ian, what was your best part?
My best song, wow, people are going to be pissed that neither of us are saying Thriller. You guys, Thriller is incredible. Don't get us wrong. She's Not There.
Oh, so good.
I may not
Quit
know
the
next normal
Quit
very
the
well,
football
but
team.
Very good song, very good performance. Excellent. My best part is probably something. I mean, all boom, boom, no pow, and that is so 2000 and late. That
right,
line.
No, that is so 2000 and late.
But also the first half of the football game where it's the girls.
Yeah.
That's very good.
And how Lauren is playing. Ah! All so right. Good.
What's your worst part?
Gosh, I don't know that I even have a worst part off the top of my head. I really like this episode. I know it's for normies. Maybe that makes me a normie, but that also makes this episode so palatable.
Lena, do you like sports?
You know what? I'm going to say that's my worst part is I don't know sports. That's the thing is I do have a tough time like understanding. Like there's that bit with the ref that's like he like puts his hand that way. I was like, who's that way? I don't know. Tell me a color.
There's that bit with the ref where he puts both his hands in the air and you're
I don't
like, that's Preggers. That we already seen that.
So I'm going to say that. That was my worst part is I just can't follow football stuff.
Is that the same actor?
I don't know.
It probably is if they reuse that shot. Can you imagine?
We're going to have to rewatch
this. On his resume, he is like, I'm the referee on Glee, yo. Every football game, that's me. I'm famous.
What was your worst part?
I don't know. I don't have things about this episode that I strongly dislike. I just have a lot of like things that I think are kind of mediocre. Mm-hmm. So I guess that. I feel like it has to be specific instead of like the air of mediocrity. It felt like, a lot of it felt like ideas and not character beats.
I hear that.
There
sure.
We go. All right. I was about to say assignment of the week. What the heck would our assignment of the week be?
Know.
No assignment of the week. Class is canceled.
Class
Everyone
canceled.
Have a good weekend.
Wait. That's your assignment is to have a good week.
Oh my gosh!
I love
yay!
When you can do that. Okay, cool.
Okay. I do have a quick announcement. Hello, everyone. You may have heard that we are doing a streaming production of a lovely musical called Daddy Long Legs. The streaming link has been sent out. So if you should have received it and you did not, please email us and let us know. recoveringgleek@gmail.com. If you are able to, like, include a screenshot that shows that, like, you donated, that would be a bonus. We are doing we did our absolute best to archive all the emails and, like, send the link out, but we're just 220-something randos. We're idiots. We probably made a mistake.
Such idiots.
So just email us. Let us know, please. That's happening on Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Friday at
1 Mountain Standard.
Yeah, 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And then on Saturday at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Mm-hmm. So have fun.
Random standard time to do. I know you guys, but...
But Utah is what Utah does, and that's where it's being filmed. So mm-hmm. You are correct. Yes, 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Friday, 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Saturday. We did guest on Typecasting Podcasting by the Numbers. If you want to hear
it's
us...
It's fun.
Talk about the Enneagram types of Klain and Mercedes Jones. That came out yesterday, and then... We also did an episode the week before where we talked about Finchel and Quinn, and next Tuesday we talk about Santana and Brittany and Sue, and I talk about Sue shooting Brittany out of a cannon multiple times. So check that out. Mm-hmm. Do we have any other announcements?
I don't think so. Here's an announcement. Love you guys.
What?
Ew, I can't believe I admitted I have feelings for you guys.
Podcast is canceled.
I know, embarrassing for me.
All right, well, love you guys. If you want to follow us on a little something called social media, I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't.
It's like socializing on the internet. We have something called a TikTok, and we have something called an Instagram, and our handle is @recoveringgleek_podcast. We have something called a Twitter, and our handle is @recoveringgleek. If you want to email us about your thoughts on the Sue Sylvester Shuffle or on Super Bowl 45 and why the Pittsburgh Steelers should have won, our email is... it's so disrespectful when you, like, blatantly make fun of me. I'm in the middle of talking about business.
Oh, sorry.
This is a business moment.
Anyways, I've always ruined the business moments.
Our email is recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Go Pack Go. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. If you want to leave us a review, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. What? No way.
Not That's Spotify, so crazy. Though. What's that about?
That helps people find our podcast. It helps get our numbers up. And if you know anything about us, you know that we love numbers. We are mathematicians. We love arithmetic. Is that how you pronounce that? Who cares? That's it.
Necromancy?
Yes, I meant necromancy.
I do love that.
We do love bringing the dead back to life so they can do Thriller for us.
Because this is Thriller.
Okay, well, love you guys. Thank you for listening. We have our mini show coming out on Monday. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Here's a kiss on your forehead. Mwah. Go, Pat, go.
Here's one from me.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.